A leading member of the CPP, Professor Ajiman Bedu Akosa, has described the overthrow of Dr. Nkrumah as Ghana's day of shame. He says the masterminds of the coup, America and Britain, must bury their heads in shame for overthrowing the constitutionally elected government of the CPP.
Today is 45 years of the overthrow of a certificate of the Kwame Nkrumah, and the CPP has rightly dubbed this day Ghana's Day of Shame because it was an orchestration by America and Britain who paid agents in Ghana to overthrow a democratically elected government, a government within which 9 years from 1957 to 1966 changed completely the destiny of this country. The destiny of this country was converted from a colonialist government to an African government that was looking forward and bringing the whole of Africa together to unite Africa for the emancipation of Africa. This was what disturbed America and Britain to orchestrate the overthrow. It was not Ghanaian made. It wasn't that Ghanaians were disaffected. No, it wasn't. It was the fact that the British and Americans wanted to overthrow a certificate of Kwame Nkrumah.
Historically, we know that some Ghanaian politicians were behind it. How about that?
Ghanaian politicians were not behind it. Once it was hatched, yes, some of them were informed, but they did not have any role, actual role. Their role was to, as compradors. They have always been compradors anyway. So it is orchestrated somewhere else, and then they acted. So they were just actors in the scheme of things. I don't give them the credit, because I don't think that they were capable of masterminding this coup.
Professor Bedu Akosa touched on the Preventive Detention Act, under which many anti-Nkrumah critics were held. He said the PDA was justified because it was meant to save life.
Critics of Dr. Nkrumah would say that he had a lot of excesses, the PDA, and crumpling down on freedom of expression.
There are some of us who believe that the PDA was justified. If you lived in a country where mayhem, people were being hugged in broad daylight, if that was what the opposition was orchestrating, then it was important to save life. And I say that if the PDA even saved one Ghanaian life, then it was worth it. And of course, it saved a lot of lives. People were incorrigible. For them, it was them or nobody else. And if you cannot run a country, just an independent, newly independent country. At the time of independence, from 1954 to 1957 through to 1958, when the PDA was brought in, there was mayhem in this country because they wanted to make sure that this country was felt, the British felt that this country was ungovernable so that independence was not given. And the PDA was what stopped it because it was a preventive strike. If you knew you were doing things that were inimical to this country, then of course you were going to be arrested. If you were a genuine Ghanaian going about your normal duties, you were not arrested. So when people talk about PDA, they should talk in terms of those who were undermining the governance of this country. If anybody decides to undermine the governance of this country, of course that person will be arrested, whether there's PDA or not.
Professor Bedu Akosa also explained why Dr. Nkrumah regulated the performance of the media in the face of the Cold War.
How about his regime on press freedom?
In the governance of things, we're talking about at a time when there was Cold War in this world. You can't compare today to the time of Kwame Nkrumah. Apart from everything, yes, independence has been granted, but independence was granted with a lot of sabotage in it. When people were doing other people's bidding for them, you wanted the government to give them carte blanche? No. There was an era. And in that era, if you say press freedom, then you're prepared to give up the governance of this country. Ghana would not have been developed to the stage that it is. Today, there is no Cold War. Today, the whole world is moving towards multiple democracy. That is acceptable. And therefore, the systems as it applies today, and today, there are not people who are orchestrating the brutal murder of Ghanaians in broad daylight. Today, we are all people who are moving into multi-party democracy. So I can understand that. If you want to compare this era to that era, then yes, you might have some misgivings. But it was a government that was single-minded and focused for the development and for the welfare of the people of this country. And my God, they achieved it.
If Nkrumah had been alive today, what would you say would have been the system like?
Oh, Ghana would have been like Shanghai. Ghana would have been so developed. Africa would have been united and developing 60% of the world's resources. It would have been just unimaginable. I don't think that any of us can sit down and really fathom the extent of development that Ghana and Africa would have endured if Kwame Nkrumah or if the 1966 coup had not taken place. We are currently in Kumasi. We have a meeting currently at the Premier Assembly Hall. From there, at 7 p.m., we are in the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology. Tomorrow, we pay a courtesy call on Asante Hene. So we have an Ghana Break program, and we are commemorating Ghana's Day of Shame, the day which Ghana's development was truncated, and frankly, Ghana has been so wrong-footed that we've never found our way.
What will you want Ghana to be like? Should you be given the mandate? What else can Ghanaians learn from Nkrumah's philosophy?
Well, it certainly will be a Ghana where every Ghanaian will feel a part of the governance, where every Ghanaian will be made to feel a part of the development agenda, where jobs will be created, where all the industries that are in abeyance will be resurrected, and Ghana will be thriving, will be nation-building, painstakingly bringing Ghanaians together under the same shared motto of forward ever, backward never, and one people, one country, with one great destiny.
Professor Ajima Bedu Akosa on the 1966 coup, which overthrew Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah.